And oh Father, what a hymn for us to sing, and what thoughts there are in it, and what truly is the tempest of our lives. Lord, just one seems like one day after another, and one week after another, there are these trials and struggles and strains and disappointments in many cases, and discouragements that come upon us that, Lord, we should not have. But, Lord, that we do, we have to confess that we are affected by them. But, Lord, as we look for that day, do indeed wash us in the precious blood of Christ and take our sins away. And then shall we have nothing, Lord, to fear, and only that to look forward to, that which is that great, wonderful eternality in which we shall see thy face be perfect in our own selves. This corruption having put on incorruption, and this mortal having put on immortality, and death swallowed up with victory, and Lord, being able then to praise you as we so desire to do today. To love you, to cherish you, and just glorify your name. And Lord, the amazing thing is that you're going to share that glory with us, your creatures, the ones that you had to die for in order to redeem from the curse. The Lord will use that glory to your glory and to your praise. But until that time, help us to do that here. We are even now being changed from glory to glory. Those of us that believe, those that you have called to see your glory and to come to be thee. Now we pray the forgiveness of our sins for sure, thanking you for that great mercy by which you deal with us from day to day. With that mercy is renewed every morning, and by which your faithfulness is extended to all generations. So help us again to just worship thee, worship you in these beautiful, wonderful hymns, and also, Lord, to worship you in our prayers, always believing that you are not only our God and Father, but also our Lord and our Savior. And then, Lord, there's your word. We certainly are saved by the hearing of your word, believing in your word, obeying your word, rejoicing in your word. So thank you for all things. We do come to you in Christ our Lord, and ask you to receive us, our prayers, and again our worship, all in you.
Turn with this morning to the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Can't hardly start without Isaiah. Last Sunday, Paul wrote a message on Hebrews 6th chapter. I guess provoked my thinking to come to where I had this morning. Got to thinking on those things. 22nd verse of 43rd chapter, it says, "But thou hast not called upon me." After kind of studying this, I decided, as never before, that the main part of worship is calling upon the Lord.
Amen.
Don't believe there's any worship outside of that. That's what's wrong with so much what they call worship today. There isn't any real calling from the heart upon the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he wants us to do, call and he'll answer.
Yes.
And he continues to answer us all the time. And it's found in the Word. And that's our duty as Christian people, to teach Word. You may not be called a teacher or a preacher, but your duty is to spread the gospel, what we call the gospel, which is the whole Word of God. He said, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel."
Yeah.
It was a hard job for them to go and worship to start with.
Yeah.
And what, because there wasn't any calling up on the Lord. There wasn't anything in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was useless. Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
If man goes to church grudgingly, he's just not going to get any good out of it. Unless the Lord just hit him with something and open his mind and his eyes up a little bit. "Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering." Well, they had, but they had.
Yeah.
"Hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices? I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me in thy iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. But put me in remembrance."
Yeah.
Now that's where we've come here this morning. Actually, that's the reason we assemble on Sabbath day, is if we might remember. And it's always being brought over and over and over. You know, I don't know about you, but my old mind's so dull. If there isn't some repetition in it, I just not going to get it anymore. Seems like I can't hold on to it. "Put me in remembrance, let me plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Call upon the Lord. Therefore, I have profaned the prince of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches," because they hadn't carried out worship. Hadn't been worshiping. They've been there. They brought, done all these things that he said they didn't do, but they didn't do it from the heart. They left off the main thing, to worship God. It all just got to be repetition to them, just do and do and do over and over and over, and that's the way to do it today. If the church houses are full today, but they're not, I'm afraid, calling upon the name of the Lord. In the 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 1. He said, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Well, and I'm afraid that working together is another problem we have today. They think that they're doing something. But it's not that kind of work. The work here is the calling upon the Lord. It's not what people think is work today. They're busy. They're plenty busy. And they are working and they're laboring and it's a pain to them. They keep having to tell one another how to win souls outside of actually calling upon the Lord. Work with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Most of what is vanity. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
The day the Lord has called. There, in a sense, there's always a call of the Lord upon the people
right.
to cause them to call. And we learn that from teaching of the Word of God. Man might say, well, I've been saved. Well, have you been exercising?
Yeah.
Have you been taught? Is there a teaching going on? Or is it just some kind of vain silliness?
Right.
He said, giving no offense in anything. That's what we must do. This is our job. This is our work. Some of it is not doing.
Right.
Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Well, there's a whole lot of that going on nowadays. They say, to God be the glory. And yet, they're not glorifying God in that they think that they can do the same.
Yeah.
But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Now he's going to list things we ought to do. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. We don't learn these things in a second either.
No.
Not in one preaching service or not in one day of living.
Amen.
It's an ongoing teaching. Yet the Lord is always teaching and he put men in place to teach these things. And keep reinforcing them. That's what I'm talking about. That I'm so dumb anymore. If it's not reinforced every Sunday, I kind of tend to forget things. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoil, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Do all these things by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost, it must come, mustn't it?
Yeah.
By love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of the righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceivers, and yet true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, having nothing in his possession all things. Lord, he has said a whole lot, ain't he? It's all the things we do. That's what the teaching of the gospel is all about.
Amen.
That we might carry on in the good work. We go back once again, what's the good work? Calling upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 19 says, "For that I be, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, to win to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." We will share in those things and teach those things. Mm-hmm. The main thing here is to be humble. Not be above everybody else. Yeah. And who's the most important? The least.
Yeah.
Is most important. So we do, in a sense, all things for that purpose. That it might be known. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you, partaking of the gospel, calling upon the name of the Lord. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 19, he said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." This is a real statement here, too.
Yes.
If we get thinking that what we're doing, working, is going to make the foundation sure, you got another thing coming. It's the Lord that made it sure, not people. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are many vessels of gold and of silver and also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Well, there's all kinds of them. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Meaning, he says, sanctified. How are we sanctified? By the gospel.
Yeah.
By the preaching of the gospel and the calling upon the Lord. Sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Well, that goes right back to what we said, wasn't it? Call upon the Lord. He will do the work.
Yeah.
Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord.
Right.
Out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoiding. And that's mostly what's going on today, like get some questions going about everything. Well, what about this?
Yeah.
Knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strife. He must be all things to all men. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And that patience, I believe, is that's one of the hardest things.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient. What are we waiting up on? Waiting on the Lord. Call on the Lord.
Right.
Be patient. In meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Well, that goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, then they can do something else once they get the light of the truth.
Amen. Yeah.
And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So we need to be careful and serve God out of a pure heart, call upon him.
For a long time, intriguing to me that the first time that we see anything about calling upon the name of the Lord is in the fourth chapter of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth chapter of what?
The fourth chapter of Genesis in verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, Seth, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Never understood that, really. I never fully understood what that was all about. But we do know this, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be
saved.
But then, there's all that that follows, isn't it?
Yeah.
For how shall they call upon him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is said, how beautiful are the feet of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They preach the gospel of glad tidings and of good things. And so faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing
by the word of God.
By the word of God. But to call upon him, that's the work of faith, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The work of faith. That is right. All most of this other stuff that they're doing is just for their own gratification, really, and or to please God. Really, to save themselves from the fires of hell, but to no avail. What is the word that was used there? JP, vain.
Yeah.
It's all vain. But when God comes to a person and creates within him the spirit of worship, well, it's no longer weary, is it? That worship I'm talking about. It becomes the best day of the week, the best time of the day is to call upon him. And nobody's going to be saved without calling upon him.